Okay, so we had been talking a little bit about Ma'ariv based on our sugya and Daled, and as we mentioned yesterday, we would branch out on that topic a little bit, drawing from a Gemara in the fourth parak, because in the context of what we were talking about yesterday, about the issue of smichas geul tefila, and particularly how it impacts upon the structure of Ma'ariv and the halachas of Ma'ariv. So we made occasional reference to the idea of tefilas arvis rishus, the idea which would roughly translate as saying that Ma'ariv appears to be optional. So let's try to understand that concept a little bit. What does it mean to say that tefilas Ma'ariv is a rishus? This is a discussion in the Gemara in the fourth parak. It's a machlokas. In general, when it comes to the tefilos, so there is a machlokas there in the Gemara as to what is the inspiration, so to speak, for the tefilos, the three tefilos that we have a day. So do we assume that tefilos avos tiknum, that they reflect the fact that they were put into place by the avos, so Avram instituted shachris, Yitzchak instituted mincha, and Yaakov instituted ma'ariv, and the Gemara quotes psukim for each one to show that each one davened? Or do we assume that they parallel the karbanos, in which case shachris and mincha would be stronger obligations because they represent the tmidin, the tamid shel shachar and the tamid shel bein harabayim, while ma'ariv is not representative of a karban on the same level, but rather it's the representative of the burning of the fats and the limbs that took place afterwards. So that's a point maybe we'll come back to, but having discussed that, so the Gemara also talks about, the Gemara has a conclusion on that point of tefilos avos tiknum v'asmechinu rabbanim ha-karbanos, that the tefilos were instituted by the avos and attached to the karbanos. That's the Gemara at the bottom of daf chavav in the base. And the Gemara also, in that parak, brings up this question about how to characterize tefilas arvis. Do we say that tefilas arvis is a rishos or is a chova? That is a Gemara on Chav Zayin on the base, a daf later. The Gemara picks up on what it says in the Mishnah, tefilas ha'arev ein la keva. And the Gemara has a debate about this. The Gemara says that the Amar Yehuda and Rishmul, tefilas arvis, is a rishos, and Rabbi Gamliel says chova. Rabbi Shua Amar rishos. Amar Abaye halacha Rabbi chova. But Rabbi Amar halacha kedivrei haomer rishos. The halacha, Rabbi says the halacha is like the one who says it is a rishos, and it seems like the psak is like that view.
Abaye says chova.
Right, but Rabbi says it's a rishos, and the letter is by that one. It seems like that's the one that's brought the halacha. So what does that mean to say that it's a rishos? So apparently it does not mean that it's optional. It doesn't mean in practice that we have mincha, ma'ariv, and shul, so people would come for mincha, and then when the shul starts davening ma'ariv, half the people would leave and say, you know what, this one's optional, so let's all leave. That was only mincha that was really obligatory. So if it doesn't mean that, so what does it mean? And why doesn't it mean that? Because it sounds like it means that. So there are a number, to work backwards maybe, there are a number of statements in the Rishonim that reflect it meaning something. For example, the Rambam has a couple of references to it. The Rambam has one very surprising kind of statement about it. We spent some time earlier on talking about the whole discussion of Kriyat Shema early, the idea of davening Ma'ariv together with Shema before dark. So we focused then in that discussion on the assumption that it's okay to daven Ma'ariv then, but the question was whether Kriyat Shema was too early. So what about Ma'ariv itself? So the Rambam says regarding Ma'ariv that since Ma'ariv is a Rishus, ein medaktik in bizmana, that really you would think that Ma'ariv itself should always be at nighttime. It's a nighttime tefillah. So Rambam seems to be saying, which is not the same position that the other Rishonim necessarily take. Now we saw Tosfos focusing on the whole Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim machlokas about plaga mincha. So here the Rambam is introducing a different angle, that really it's a nighttime tefillah, but because it's a rishos, so we have a little more flexibility. So we can daven a little bit before dark, because we don't have to be so careful about coloring the line, so to speak, because tefillah arvus rishos, which is a very interesting application. He also says that because it's a rishos, so there is no chazaras hashat. And so we know that that's a major structural difference in terms of mincha and ma'ariv, let's say. That mincha we have chazaras hashat, and mincha we don't. And ma'ariv we don't. Shachar and mincha and musaf, we have a repetition of the amida, and we don't have that for ma'ariv. And here you have the Rambam explaining that that's also a function of tefillas arvus rishus. There's also, along those lines, a discussion in the Beis Yosef that in some places they apparently had a minig to have a ketanim lead the davening for tefillas arvus, and it's discussed in that context because since there's no chazar sashas anyway, which is a function of tefillas arvus rishus, so then there was more room to allow that. So that's an interesting idea in and of itself. And the truth is, Rabbeinu Yona seems to suggest that because Tfilas Arvus is a Rishus, so the truth is maybe we don't need any Chazaras Hashatz at all. But, we b'chlal don't need we don't need any Shmon Esrei. Ram says Chazaras Hashatz, and we don't need any Shmon Esrei at all. And that could be the explanation of why it is that we have some ambiguity about Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen V'Amen. And so we discussed a little bit last time the question of why that isn't a problem of a hefsek in terms of interrupting between Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei. So we mentioned then that there are views in Rishonim that Tfilat Arvus Rishus plays a role in allowing some more breathing space between Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei. So that's a part of the equation. But it could also be that, and it's part of the same point, that maybe the reason that many people don't recite that paragraph is because perhaps that paragraph is a holdover from when there originally was no Shmon Esrei for Ma'ariv. That maybe once upon a time, so since Tfilas Arvus is termed a Rishus, so therefore, the paragraph of Baruch Hashem La'olam was a summary of some of the themes that sufficed instead of Shmon Esrei. And it was being recited in a context where there was no Shmon Esrei there. And nowadays that we do have a Shmon Esrei, so to recite Baruch Hashem La'olam might be, say, at best redundant, and at worst, a real interruption. Who needs it in the middle of Shmon Esrei? Who needs it in between, right before Shmon Esrei if we're reciting Shmon Esrei anyway? So that takes things even further. That here we have the Rambam saying that we don't need Chazaras Hashatz, which we know from practice that we don't have Chazaras Hashatz. But it could be perhaps even more than that, that maybe you have this view in Rishonim that maybe there was no Shmon Esrei at all at one point in history, also a reflection of this idea of it not being a chov absolutely, being a rishus. And this also ties in again with the idea that we've been talking about, that the allowing of anything at that point anyway, any interruption between the Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei, also somehow tying into the possibility of it being termed a rishus.
It doesn't much more of that from the Gemara.
The Gemara doesn't explain at all, right?
The Gemara doesn't ask why it's not considered an exit.
Well, about Hashkivenu.
Yeah.
Right. But it could be that Hashkivenu actually comes before Baruch Hashem La'olam. So if Baruch Hashem La'olam was the replacement for Shmon Esrei, so then the question is, why do you have Hashkivenu there? So, but in terms of what Tfilas Arvus Rishus means, it's interesting, almost all of these explanations are really provided by the Rishonim, and the Gemara doesn't really explain at all what it would mean. And simply speaking, one would have assumed that it meant that it's optional, so it sounds like, and that you find that the Rishonim are not going in that direction at all, in some cases explicitly not, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, but they're assigning all types of different aspects to it other than saying that it's optional in terms of
the initial original, though, although most initial source is only from the Rishonim.
Yeah, but as far as I can tell, it doesn't seem to be in the Gemara.
Because mm-hmm. There's a statement that it's for the people, it's only for those in the field.
Right, so it could be a replacement of Shemoneh Esrei. It's meant to summarize Shemoneh Esrei, so it could be that everyone wasn't saying Shemoneh Esrei once upon a time. Rabbeinu Yonah has that idea. So there is also an interesting discussion how this plays out. There is a view that the Gaonim had that Friday night, that when there is essentially a summarization of the Shemoneh Esrei after davening, Magen Avos, that one could maybe fulfill his obligation of davening by listening to that. And again, based on the leniency of Tfilas Arvus Rishus, that maybe there's room to have a little bit more of a relaxed, so to speak, attitude towards fulfilling the obligation of Shemoneh Esrei that way.
Which is an extreme opposite of the Ramban. So that's the only time that Ovid is Chovah.
All right, so we discussed that. So the Zohar, and it seems the Ramban like that, because the Zohar and Rabbi Yaakov didn't say like that. Is the Ramban like that?
Ramban.
Okay, so you'll have to show me that. But we'll mention that point in a minute. But there is this view that one can be Yotze with Magen Avos. And then based on that, I believe the Maharil says that if one misses Mincha Friday afternoon, you know, let's say it doesn't happen, one gets in a rush Friday afternoon, and this is Mincha, so normally if he misses Mincha on Tuesday afternoon, so he'll daven Ma'ariv twice Tuesday night. But here the Ma'ariv suggests that maybe he can, instead of davening twice, he could daven once, and then listen to Magen Avos to replace Mincha. So that gets itself into an interesting discussion about the concept of Tashlumen, which is a whole separate sugya, but the whole idea of davening a second Shemoneh Esrei to make up for a previous Shemoneh Esrei, because the Rashash and others raise a question on this position, that why should we say that you can make up Mincha with Magen Avos? The whole idea of saying you could be Yotzei Shemoneh Esrei through Magen Avos is all based on the notion that Tfilas Arvus was a Rishus. Okay, so because it's a Rishus, so then, fine, this lesser Shemoneh Esrei can also be effective. But here, you're not trying to daven Ma'ariv, you're trying to make up Mincha. It's the Amis Mincha, so we should require a genuine Shemoneh Esrei to make up Mincha. Why should it be that Magen Avos should be sufficient to replace the missing Mincha? So apparently, Rav Nassim Gestetner has a tshuva about this, a discussion about this in the literature in general, that apparently this seems to show you that we know when it comes to Tashlumen, so there's a lot of lumdus to discuss. We can discuss at a different time in terms of what you're accomplishing when you add in a second Shemoneh Esrei, but we know the rule is it's really supposed to be two Shemoneh Esreis of that zone, and it's not that you daven, let's say, if there's a difference that's discernible, it's not that you're going to daven Ma'ariv and then a different Mincha Shemoneh Esrei. You're going to daven two of the same Shemoneh Esreis that are appropriate for that time. So we could extend that idea, as some Achronim do, and say that since Tfilas Arvus is our Rishus, so therefore even the second Shemoneh Esrei, so to speak, even though it's really only coming about because of Mincha, it also has a status of Rishus. So therefore the same leniency that Magen Avos could have sufficed, so maybe that could also work in order to make up a missed Mincha. So that's all interesting, especially in light of what Dr. Belazon mentioned, that there is a Zohar, and that Rabbi Yaakov Emden also says it's more Tziyah, and Dr. Belazon says it's a Ramban also, that suggests something in the opposite direction. That they suggest that maybe Ma'ariv on Friday night might be the only one that's a Chovah. It's not 100% clear.
Chovah, even Midoraita.
Right, so it could be that it's a fulfillment. Sorry? Right, so the different ways of, I think maybe we're referring to actually the idea that that's fulfillment of Zohar, Shemesh, Shabbos, Lekadosh. That,
but it's connected to Shimon.
Right, so, that's, so the Zohar comes at it from a slightly different angle, but it could be that Meiriv has a whole different role Friday night than it has the rest of the week in sufficing to, or in accomplishing Kabbalah Shabbos and Tosefta Shabbos also, so therefore it has maybe a more obligatory status than the rest of the week. So clearly that's at odds with this idea that the Magen Avos, which is only relevant Friday night, can suffice because it feels out of its rishus, so coming in the opposite direction. So we also have this view that Meiriv Friday night is not a rishus at all. This was also relevant to what we discussed again in that earlier discussion about the early davening, and we mentioned the problem of Tarta Desasre, that it's a problem to daven Mencha and Meiriv in the same time zone, so to speak. But nonetheless, Rishonim, on the one hand, they're lenient sometimes when it's the only way to get a minyan together, but they're even more lenient when it comes to Friday night, because Friday night, the Tosefta Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos role that davening plays seems to be more important, and that justifies, at least to the view of many Rishonim, that justifies davening earlier, even if that means compromising on the Tarta Desasre issue. Now, if you could do both, if you can accommodate the Tarta Desasre issue and do a Kabbalah Shabbos, and all the better, but the Kabbalah Shabbos justification plays a role there. So all of that so far that we've seen is not saying what it sounds like from the Gemara that Tfilas Arvis is optional. So it does seem to be a deviation from the simple interpretation. Tfilas Arvis Rishus, it certainly sounds like it means optional. So why doesn't it mean that? So you have two different approaches in the Rishonim to explain what they think it means, why it's not treated as optional. And they're both, all the different approaches in Rishonim are both addressing the same question, because there are at least two indications from Shas that Meiriv is not optional. Even though on the one hand here it says Rishus, but in practice there are at least two indications from the Gemara that it's not optional. One is from the concept of Tashlumin that we just mentioned. That's what the Gemara says, if you miss Shachris, you daven two Menchas. If you miss Mencha, you daven two Meirivs. If you miss Meiriv, you daven two Shachrises. So Rishonim asks, what do you mean if I miss Meiriv, I daven two Shachrises? I don't have to daven Meiriv in the first place. Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus. So why would you tell me I have to make up my obligation in the morning? I didn't have an obligation last night. That's one of the perspectives that the Rishonim asks from. The second idea that the Gemara has is that we know there's an obligation of Yalav Yavol. We touched upon that a little bit yesterday. And that on Rosh Chodesh, so we're obligated to add in Yalav Yavol to our Shmona Esrei. And if we forget Yalav Yavol, so then we have an obligation to repeat the Shmona Esrei afterwards. And we mentioned yesterday a shaila that came up once during Mincha. It's really Mincha where this obligation is the cleanest, because Shachris, it gets complicated if you remember after Musaf, so maybe Musaf might suffice. It's a separate discussion. And Meiriv, the Gemara says that even though l'chatchila one is obligated to daven Meiriv with Yalav Yavol, that's what we're supposed to do on Rosh Chodesh, but if one forgets to say Yalav Yavol at night, so then one's not obligated to go back. That's the Gemara says it's connected to the idea of Ein Mekadshin Es HaChodesh Balayla. Since there was no Kiddush HaChodesh at night, so then there is less of an obligation to say Yalav Yavol. One's supposed to say it L'chatchila, but it doesn't invalidate Shmona Esrei V'di'eved. We don't make him go back and say it. Which is a whole discussion of what exactly that means. It's not really our sugya right now, so we'll get into it. But the idea that it applies, if it applied only the first night of Rosh Chodesh, it would be one thing. It hasn't. So the Kiddush HaChodesh hasn't happened yet. But it applies, even if you have a two-day Rosh Chodesh, it applies both times. If you don't forget at night, so then Meiriv seems to, for this reason, have a different status vis-a-vis Yalav Yavol. So the Rishonim ask, why do I need that reason? I got a better reason. I didn't have to daven in the first place. So if I didn't have to daven in the first place, so then what are you telling me if I forget Yalav Yavol, I have to daven again? I didn't have to daven the first time. Right, so when it comes to benching, so you do have an obligation to bench, except on Rosh Chodesh, Yael V'Yavo is not crucial. On Yontif, let's say on a Yontif meal, you have to go back for Yael V'Yavo. The Gemara says the rule of thumb is that if the meal is obligatory, so then you have to go back. If not, not. So Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, well, the Chachila will say Yael V'Yavo, but there's no Chiyuv Suda, so we don't make you go back. But for Yontif, or for Ritzay and Shabbos, then we make you go back. Sorry? So when it comes to davening, so you have this idea that you don't have to repeat Ma'ariv because of a Mechachin and Sochodesh Balayla. And the Rishonim asks, why do I need that reason? Let me just say that I didn't have to daven Ma'ariv in the first place, and therefore I don't have to go back. Parenthetically, there's a whole interesting discussion, which also maybe we can have a different time, but there was a view, one of the Talmidei Chachamim in Vilna, of Abba Lepasulover, it's quoted by the Chayodan, and a number of others are saying a big Chiddush. Now we know that during Asaras Yimei Tshuva, so we have to change our Nuschos in davening, so it's not so far off, 5 weeks, 6 weeks from now, we have to start changing our text in davening, and instead of saying HaKel HaKadosh, should we say HaMelech HaKadosh? So there was a one view, Rebbe Apostle over, that maybe the first night Rosh Hashanah, if we forget to say HaMelech HaKadosh, maybe we don't have to go back. And maybe it somehow parallels this idea that the Gemara has, that you don't have to go back for Yael V'Yavo, you don't have to go back also for HaMelech HaKadosh. And that wasn't accepted by the later postgame. There's a whole discussion how to understand that position. An interesting discussion, but it all flows from this point. And again, that's again dealing with Ma'ariv. So Ma'ariv of the first night Rosh Hashanah, should it have a different status vis-a-vis this? So Rishonim say, again, a whole discussion, who needs it? Say, Tfilas Arvus Rishus, and we could take a more flexible attitude, we shouldn't need these reasons. So the Rishonim, a lot of the Tosafot and others, have basically two approaches to this question. How do you deal with the fact, on the one hand, the Gemara says it's a Rishus, and on the other hand, we have at least these two Gemaras, which seem to be relating to Ma'ariv as obligatory. So one approach is that Rishus is a relative term. In general, we find in the Gemara, the mitzvah and the chovah are sometimes contrasted in ways that we wouldn't use them by themselves. The mitzvah has an optional connotation in some settings when it's contrasted with chovah, even though the word mitzvah means to be commanded. You think it doesn't have an optional connotation, it has an obligatory connotation, but it's all in the usage. It's all in the usage, so sometimes mitzvah is contrasted with chovah. So too, Rishus can be contrasted with Chova in a way that Rishus takes on more of an obligation than it would normally. So it doesn't mean, according to this view in Rishonim, it doesn't mean that it's actually optional. It means that it's not as obligatory as Shachar Semincha. Shachar Semincha are a little more powerful, and Ma'ariv compared to them is on a little bit of a different level, and therefore, Ein Levat Lo L'Chinam, that we shouldn't just lightly, frivolously skip it. That somehow you got to figure out what kind of a difference this makes. But on the scale of things, we more quickly leave out Ma'ariv than we would Shachar Semincha. Shachar Semincha are more formidable obligations. But it doesn't mean that we just say, okay, Ma'ariv now, you know what, I'd rather read for a few more minutes. It's an optional Ma'ariv anyway. That's not the way that we view it. It just means that there could be some decisions where Ma'ariv will be a little bit less obligatory. So where does that come up? It's very unclear. One of the places where it's discussed is, again, almost in an idioma, Motzei Yom Kippur. So Motzei Yom Kippur, so there is a phrase the Gemara has that Ne'ilah Poteres HaShol Ma'ariv. Ne'ilah itself is a mysterious concept. So the Gemara says that Ne'ilah could take the place of Ma'ariv. So what does that mean practically? And the Rishonim over there, Tosfos and other Rishonim, raise the question that how does this affect Tfilas Arvus Rishus from both directions? One, you could say that it's not a chiyuv anyway, so why do I need Ne'ilah to take Ma'ariv's place? Or alternatively, if since Tfilas Ma'ariv is something that we daven, so then why should Ne'ilah knock it out? So some Rishonim have a chiddush that this is an example of a justified skipping of Ma'ariv. It's interesting that some Rishonim bring up the idea of Dvar Mitzvah, that we know that there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev and Kippur. So So some of the Rishonim say this is a good idea to be aware of. There's also a mitzvah to eat matzoi in kibbeh. So therefore you have an urgent need to get home and eat to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzoi in kibbeh. So therefore Nila can pater Ma'ariv. Again, we don't do this in practice, but the line of the Gemara is a little mysterious. Stipar has a whole discussion about it, so there is a whole issue in the Rishonim. How does this correlate in both directions in terms of this idea of Tfilas Arvis Rishos? This is Rishonim commenting on that Gemara. As you said, it's Erev Yom Kippur, right? Right, so Erev Yom Kippur is the Gemara in a whole discussion of the whole literature. But in terms of Matzoi Yom Kippur, as far as I know, it's just some of the Rishonim commenting on the fourth parak of Brachos, commenting on that idea of Ni'ila Poteris Eshel Ma'ariv. Very interesting idea. We should be machmer and assume that there is a very important mitzvah to eat then. Not just get ma'ariv necessarily, but... Right. There's a mitzvah to... Yeah. You know, you think that it's such an obvious thing, but we have to have a mitzvah to Erev Yom Kippur, so you know, people would do that as well. But in any event...
Those who fasted in Shanghai 2 days.
Yeah, so apparently they...
Fasted straight 48 hours?
That's right. Sorry?
I don't think they fasted 48 hours straight.
When did they eat then? Did they eat at night? So the night is not really any less...
I think it was with the Shanghai fellow.
Right. But the Yerushalmi does raise that issue, so there's no Sfeika de Yoma by Yom Kippur, because you'll get the flask. Okay, that's a different topic. In any event, it's also a little bit of a first parak of Bracha topic, but in any event, for now, so the second approach that you find in the Rishonim, which is probably really the dominant approach, is that of the Bahag and a few others, which is that nowadays we have accepted it as a chiyuv. So there's two versions of this. Some say that commonly the Jewish people as a whole have accepted Ma'ariv as obligatory. You know, this would parallel to some extent the discussion that we had before Tisha B'Av about the other fast days, according to the Ramban, that the Ramban read the Gemara as essentially saying that Shavasa Batama, Sarva Tevis, and some Gedalia were optional nowadays, but yet not actually optional, that the Jews have accepted it as an obligation. So too, when it comes to Ma'ariv, it seems to be that many of your Rishonim say that's the story as well, that the Jewish people have accepted it. Some of the Rishonim have a more individualized view that it's not necessarily that the Jews accepted it, but that every individual Jew, by starting to daven Ma'ariv, accepts it as a practice. Which, if you have a bar mitzvah age son, so he might tine on you later that maybe you should have given him the option whether or not to get involved. Maybe you'll say, had he known, he would never have decided to get involved. But that's a separate discussion. But it does sound like from some Rishonim that every individual takes on this obligation on his own. So based on that, I believe the Rashba has a tshuva, and so Rashba has a tshuva, where he explains further the idea we mentioned a few minutes ago, where we said that the Rambam says that one of the reflections of Tfilas Arvis Rishus is that there's no Chazaras Hashatz. We don't repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Rashba takes that idea a little bit further in the tshuva, and he says, yeah, there's no Chazaras Hashatz, because why do you have Chazaras Hashatz ever? Chazaras Hashatz is there in order lahotzi she'eino bakir. If you have somebody who doesn't know how to daven, especially in an era before you have printed sidurim, so then you should have a shliach tzibur daven out loud so that this person can listen and fulfill his obligations. So Rashba says, so then that's not going to come up when it comes to Ma'ariv. So you're going to have to daven Chazaras Hashatz to fulfill the obligation of somebody who doesn't know how to daven. Somebody who doesn't know how to daven is not obligated in Ma'ariv, because you become obligated in Ma'ariv by davening Ma'ariv. So if you don't know how to daven Ma'ariv, you're not going to become obligated in the first place. So there's no need to institute the Chazaras Hashatz in order to fulfill the obligation of those who don't know how to daven. They never get in the first place in the context of the obligation of Ma'ariv to begin with. So there's also this track in the Rishonim as seeing it as something that was accepted as obligatory, but maybe on an individual level, not on a communal level. Rav Kulitz, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, has the truth about this in his Sefer Menachas Eliyahu, where he suggests that both tracks exist, and the communal obligation is a stronger obligation. And that personal, there was a concept, at least once upon a time, of it being a rishus that was accepted by individuals, and that creates like a minig type of obligation. And then the Klal Yisrael as a whole took it on as a stronger obligation. So does that affect the status of now, once you say that Tfilas Arvis has been accepted, so does that change anything in practice? So now, nowadays, okay, so we all daven Ma'ariv. So if you say that that was the progression, that once upon a time it was voluntary, and now it was accepted as obligatory, so now is it equal or is it any different? So there's an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Raita that relates to this. Let's see if we have time to say it now. Otherwise, we'll just finish it off on Friday. Either way, we'll have a little more to say about this topic on Friday. But there is a interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Raita. The Gemara says as follows, that if somebody, let's say somebody is davening mincha, so it happens often when they change the clocks, when there's a sudden change in the schedule. So somebody is in the middle of davening mincha, and he forgets that every day he goes to a latish mincha, and then the clocks change, so all of a sudden you can daven at 1 o'clock or whatever. So the first day that he davens an early mincha, he forgets that he did that, and he still goes to the late mincha as his routine. So you're in the middle of mincha, and you realize, wait a minute, I davened already. So according to the Gemara, you just stop. You're not supposed to daven mincha twice, so once you realize that you already davened, so you just stop in the middle. And even though, as we discussed yesterday, there's a concept of a tefillas nedava, so one could in theory say, why should I stop? Why don't I just in the middle decide that this will become a voluntary shmona esrei? Okay, so I'm not mechuyav to daven mincha twice, so I'll turn this into a optional shmona esrei. So apparently that doesn't work. Apparently you can't mix the two of this. You started this thinking this was your obligatory mincha, so then you can't in the middle convert it to a nedava. If you want to start as a nedava, that's fine, but you can't convert it in the middle. So that's the din of the Gemara. So the Rambam says that that's not true when it comes to Ma'ariv, right? Again, the clock changes. Let's say every night you go to 10 o'clock Ma'ariv, and then the winter comes, and all of a sudden you have an option for an earlier Ma'ariv, so you forget that you did that, and you find yourself in the middle of the 10 o'clock Ma'ariv. So the Rambam says that you can do, that you can convert in the middle to a nedava, because Tfilas Arvis is a rishus. So what's a rishus? Sounds like it's the same thing as a nedava. It sounds like it isn't a problem to mix those two. You start off a daita to mincha, that's a problem, because mincha can't turn into a nedava, but Ma'ariv apparently, according to the Rambam, can turn into a nedava. And the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid apparently working off a basis like the Bahag, says it's been accepted as a chova, and therefore we don't distinguish in practice between Shacharis and Mincha. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker has an essay about this, where he says apparently there is an ongoing machlokas here, that the Rambam says in practice we have to daven Ma'ariv, but it still has somewhat of a lesser status than Shacharis and Mincha, that there's something in its character that reflects an optional element. And the Ravid is apparently disagreeing, and the Ravid says, no, that now we've accepted it, so it's no different than Shacharis and Mincha. And if we say that Mincha can't turn into an Adav in the middle, so too Ma'ariv can't either. And the Sefer is coming out now, is a popular Sefer called the Chavetzel Sashar and Al-Torah. So he has a discussion about this in one of his pieces, where he takes the opposite approach of Reb Chaim Brisker. He thinks the Rambam and the Ravid play out differently in terms of how they reflect this chova concept of Ma'ariv. It's is an interesting point. We'll go into it a little bit more tomorrow, but we'll continue tomorrow, Friday morning. Right?
That's exciting.
Yeah, well, yeah. So tomorrow you have Kriya Sator. But Bez Hashem on Friday, we'll pick up. We'll say a few more points about this. And then we'll try to say, whatever time we have left, a few more observations about the first parak of Brachos. Okay, so we'll just say a few more words about the Rambam and Ravi, and we'll continue from there.